Blog Talk Radio.
James Bond.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook and actually Madison Montgomery's show today. It's Sizzling Hot Romance. This is the new show with Madison Montgomery and myself, which is one person, but I thought you should know it. We're really good. This is a romance show, and we've got three great guests here. We're going to have a really good time, and it is Tuesday, May 14th, and it is 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. And I will, before we do one thing, I'm going to say our messages, because then we will not talk about that. Okay, now, tomorrow's Wednesday, and I think we don't have the Writing Mama show, but the next show we have is Fran Lewis will be Thursday, and that's 3 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be a really good show. She's having two authors on, and it's 2 hours, and it's a very interesting show. And sometimes I'm on that show with her, but sometimes I'm not. It depends. And if she needs help, I go on, but it's a great show. And then we have The Writing Mama, which is Wednesday next week. And then we have Thursday, that would be Fran again. But then we also have on Wednesdays Jeff, okay, our Jeffries. And he has William Knauer, and that is a week from this Wednesday. And it's 6:30 Eastern, and he's the editor of the Author magazine. And he's very interesting. I did a show with Jeff a long time ago, and he was on it. He's a very interesting guy. And actually, last week we did not have our show, or JD did not have her show because she was sick, and so she will be having one on the 27th. And that is an early show. It's for children. It's 15 or 20 minutes, and it is at 9 o'clock Central, and it's 7 o'clock for California, but it's played on demand right after that, so you don't have to get up so early at 7 o'clock, but the kids are liking it. The kids love that show. And today, okay, we have a great show today. We have Kim Rocha. Hi, Kim. Did I say it right?
Yes, hi, Marcia. You did. You said it right. Thank you.
Good. We have Amanda McIntyre. Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Marcia. How are you?
I'm good. And we have C.H. Admirand. Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
All right, that's
wonderful.
Good.
All right.
100%. Okay. I'm going to let each of you just say a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to talk for a few minutes. And you can say as much as you want about yourself, you know, and then we'll go into other things later. Okay, Kim, you're on.
Okay, Marcia. My name is Kim Rocha, and I'm basically a mom from Long Island, New York. About 2009, I started a book club out of basically a chick night that we used to have. We changed it over to a book club because at the end of the evening, we all started to talk about books anyway. So I decided to start them reading books that I liked, and we started off reading a Lara Adrian book, and everybody got into it completely. And since then, we've had basically monthly meetings. Authors come over about once a month. Unless we're doing conventions, we do them together. It's a lot of fun, and out of that, I started my blog, which is a very small blog, but I like it because I think it's more personal than, you know, these huge ones that have 10 million things a day posted. Yeah. I don't post all the time. I don't, like, try to flood the internet. I only do what I like.
Right.
And then from the blog, I help authors out that I like. I only do what I like. I don't take on people or help people that have never read their work before, because I found out that publishers don't really help authors once their books are written unless you are top tier to them. I don't know how you get into that, but I found that authors that who really deserve to have more exposure don't get the exposure that they deserve.
This is true.
In any way I would love to help them. That's it.
That's it. But see, that's one of the things that I've always talked about on our shows. What happens is that we need the readers. All the authors need readers. Without readers, we have nothing. And that's really so important what you're doing, is because you're bringing the writer and reader together, which is really what we all need. I mean, everybody knows that. So, I mean, it's really so helpful. I cannot tell you how much writers really appreciate these things, because we can't do everything. And we're going to talk about all the services that you offer, and I am doing the street team with Kim. If you were listening last week, we had Sarah Humphreys on, and we were talking about the street team, and Kim is helping me get out there with my Madison series. Okay, and we do have, I have a question already in the room that I wanted to bring out, Amanda. Okay, and well, let's see. All right, let me see. I think we'll wait for the question for a minute. It's Madison talking here, so I'm going to wait on questions for just a few seconds. Okay, Amanda?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Okay, you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I live in the Midwest. I'm a mother of four grown children, and I live here. I've been writing probably for maybe 11, 12 years. I started out as a newspaper columnist and walked over into fiction writing. I like to write character-driven stories. I like to think, as I overview my writing, whatever genre, and I've written in nearly every genre, I like to take ordinary people and place them in extraordinary circumstances and watch that evolution of them becoming heroes and heroines in their own stories. And I think that's the most joy for me in my writing. I'm an artist at heart. If I wasn't writing, I'd probably have a huge studio somewhere and paint all over the place.
Yeah.
So I like to think that I paint pictures with words. So
that's a good way to look at it. That's an interesting thing. That's a very good way to look at it. Okay, all right, CH?
I really don't know where to start, because if I start with my grandson, you won't get me off the phone, as Amanda and Kim both know. I showed everybody at RT, I kept showing them my new screen with my new picture for the day that my daughter sent. But okay, I won't talk about my grandson.
He is adorable.
The man I fell in love with at first sight 34 years ago this year. So I base all of my heroes on some of the qualities that are just the best things about my husband, his honesty, his integrity. He has really great, killer broad shoulders. But anyway, I just realized
those are the
I'm
things
doing...
that really count. That really does count. Those are the things that count.
They
Unfortunately,
do.
A lot of characters that we all write, they don't have these qualities sometimes.
Well, I try to make sure that mine do. And I just realized I was working on the edits for my 15th book, my copy edits for my 15th book. So it's been a long and crazy ride, starting in the library market and small press, and then having the opportunity to go to mass market paperback. And I'm not really sure where I'm going from there. So, you know, it's ever changing, and we were
that's
talking about that
my
earlier.
Life. That's the story of my life. I don't know where I'm going ever. But, you know, I think that's okay. You know, I think it's okay for people to not know exactly where they're going. You know, it's more fun sometimes when you don't know everything, because, you know, life happens anyway in between, I guess. We had the question here. So, wait, I wanted to, let's see. Okay, hi. This is from Tracy, and she wants to know, Kim, let's see, what would your best piece of advice be for authors who want to jumpstart their marketing? Okay.
Oh, that's a good question, because I don't think the first place to go is a street team.
Right.
But I do think to get their name out there, they have to accept friends on Facebook that they normally wouldn't. Social networking is your best shot, definitely. That's the one place that you meet people, and the more people you meet, they introduce you to others, and That's how it goes. Social media, definitely. If you are on there at least an hour a day just saying hi to people and you find people who like what you write, that would definitely help.
Yeah. See, I think, that really is, you know, you have to do it kind of slowly, even though most writers and myself include, we want to do a lot of things, but I've been around for a while, so I've learned a lot of things, so I do a lot of things, but that's really for the person that's just starting out. You know, it's nice these days, I will say, because even if someone is self-published, they have someone like Kim, and they have people that will help them get out there. I mean, because it is difficult, you know, to really know what to do. It's like we're not born knowing what to do. We have to figure it out for ourselves, which is one reason what I do on my shows, my other show, Good Story is a Good Story, also because I think we just have to learn from each other. And I just learned something tonight. I knew about this, but not the entire thing. Kim, do you want to just say what we were talking about beforehand? Because this really is important, because I think everybody out there, we all have lots of friends out there, but the problem that's happening to me and other people is when you think people are seeing what you're putting out, they're not.
Exactly. This is the little game that Facebook is playing now with their Facebook pages. It's not your profile page itself, but now that you, all of us actually have the 5,000 friend limit,
yeah.
And if you pass that, you can't have any more. So they want you to open up a Facebook page. Most authors have one.
Yeah.
If you do, then what happens is if you post something on there that you want to share with everybody, not all of your friends or the people that like the page see it. This is an issue. What happens, it pops up when you want to post saying that you can boost your likes if you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do they think? Authors are millionaires? I mean...
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, and that comes up on the side. And I look at it and I go like, oh, well, forget it. You know, and I just go on. And then, but I guess this is really happening. And when, like, for the shows, like last time I made an event, which I used to do, and then you have to click everybody. So I think that people are really thinking, so don't be mad at your friends if they're not getting back to you on a show or what you want them to see, because they're probably not seeing it. So this is probably going to be an issue for people.
Exactly.
I
don't think that anybody really has to do that. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
If everybody that's why I think the profile pages, some people are actually picking up a second profile page and asking their friends not to friend both so that the new people can actually get a second profile.
Right.
So that it will get to everybody.
Well, I think the thing about Facebook, like I have 11 pages. So, I mean, I keep writing new pages for different things that I do, and they probably look at me, and I can't take, what happens is if I take a lot of people that come from my show and they want me to friend them, what happens is if I do too many of them, then they cut me off. Like last month, I was like punished. I really was punished. They said you can't do anything now because they were not going to let your messages go, and you'd have to do this for like 8 days. And so on the seventh day, they write me a little thing. They go like, oh, one more day to go. And I'm going like, thank you so much. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's horrible. So I, you know, unfortunately, why I'm always so busy is because I'm ending up calling people because I want to make sure that they know things or I can ask them questions. So I'm on the phone like all the time. And this is what I know what you're saying makes sense because I know they're doing this. You know, for other things, but I know I heard people, they're telling me, they go, oh, they're mad at their friends, they're not paying attention. Well, this will answer it, because they're not.
Yeah, this is a big issue. I think that I realize that they have to make money, but why do they have to make it off of the small people? They have advertisers that they could make money off of.
Yeah.
They don't realize that what an author actually makes on a book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do, because I ask years ago, and I guess they responded to me and told me, and we're shocked. So we want, you know, authors to be able to profit.
Yeah.
Why do you have to pay for so much of this promotion on something that's supposed to be public in the first place?
Well, see, because that's what they're doing now. They're going, like, everywhere you go, I'm sure it's the same. I mean, I'm in Chicago, but wherever you go, it goes Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, they want you on these things. So, you know, and they started it by making it free. So, I mean, people really can't pay for all this because it really would get expensive if you paid for if you paid every day for everything that you want to put out there. So I think what's happening is with the blogs and everything else, we're going to have to figure out other things to do, which is, you know, this is hard. I mean, that's why people are having a hard time out there. You know, I try to give them, you know, what they need because try to tell them what's happening because I honestly think that most people don't know all of this. And I think that every day something else changes. So I don't know what the answer is. You know, we used to do a lot of press releases. I'll probably have to do that again. But the thing is, you want people that know you to be able to hear you on the show if you're coming on.
Right.
Mm. So this is not...
So much has changed in the industry, too, just in the last 5 years even. It's gone more, you know, technological and everything. I can remember back in the day when you would send hundreds of postcards to your local bookstores, the brick and mortar stores, to let them know that you have a new book coming out. You know, and anymore, that's all done email now.
I know.
Or something like that, and for the brick and mortar stores that are actually left out there, but it's amazing how quickly it changes, and so there's never seems to be a real pat answer for marketing.
No,
for
I
an
don't
author.
Think so, and I think.
But I also don't think you can really find out. I don't think there's any pat way to track where you're spending and putting your efforts to find out if it's getting the word out there and selling more books. I don't really know if you really can do that, even if it's postcards or if it's press releases, no matter what it is. So you're basically like throwing it, like seeing if it sticks against the wall and saying, hey, let me try this time.
See, I think, and I think that really is what happens. I think people really don't know what to do, and if you're doing it, it may not. See, one of the problems is what's going to happen with email. It's going to get like regular mail used to get, where it was junk mail, and people are not looking at things. So that's another thing, right? And they're just,
she's on to me. That's what I do every day. I scroll through and I go, I don't want to read that.
I know.
It's
bad, but I hate to do this, but sometimes I go sometimes I just go, oh, I just can't. I'll never go to sleep. I just keep doing this. And I mean, and certainly when you have a lot of sites and you do a lot of different things, you look at this and you go, oh my God, how am I going to answer this? And I have several email addresses that are my own, and then I sometimes don't go in them, and I'm thinking, how much can I possibly do this? And I think what's happening to people is they are getting tired of it. So I think,
and when do you write?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's for writers.
Oh,
it's horrible. It's really, it's really hard for writers. I mean, I think for writers, we want to write. That's why Kim is doing things that will help people, like the track team. All right, we're going to talk about this a little, I think, because I read the book Track Team, and I still have issues with it, and I think it's a great idea. But I want people to actually understand what this is. Kim, what do you think this is? I mean, in your opinion, is this like a fan club, or do they have to do this every day, or how do they
like the street team? Okay. Well, honestly, Street Team itself is gathering those people who already are your fans and who've liked your books forever, and you have them basically do what they always do anyway. Basically, they promote you by word of mouth through social media. Most of us do that anyway. If we like something, we share it.
Right.
This way, we all go into this group and we hear from the author when they're able to post, when they're able to say hi. It's a nice thing. At least, we try once a week at least to say hello and see how everybody is. I know it's hard because we really want you to be writing, so we don't want you to have to take that much time out. And also, just to, chat, see how everything's going with everybody, where are they going, it doesn't have to be constantly about your work. It can be about what's going on in every day, and just that little group of people gets to find out about it. They feel special. And when they get to interact with the author on a once in a while basis, even, it makes them more interested in wanting to help them promote. Because after all, we do know how difficult it is for everybody. There are so many authors out there, so many genres. How do you get out there that your name is seen by the most people? And if you have 20 people that on their own can say, I love this person, I love this book, it really does help more than an ad.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think because if you're targeting, I know because I do different genres, but there doesn't seem to be anything else like romance. Romance is terrific because they do help. Everybody does seem to help each other, and that really shouldn't stop. And I think people, the more you share, the better it is. I mean, that's probably one thing that I like to do is to share the things, because I have different friends than other people do. So if I send it to somebody, hopefully they'll share it. And I think at the beginning, three, 4 years already that this has been so popular. It wasn't really that popular before. I mean, it's like about 4 years that I've been doing shows for three, and it was about 6 or 7 months before that when it really started going crazy. So I think, and e-books were not anything like that. I had a show 3 years ago, and I'll never forget this. I had people on saying, well, e-books will probably do well in 5 years. And in 1 second later, after, you know, after the iPad came out and everything, it went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The market, but not in every genre. But romance is a huge one. So I think what people out there, you know, should do is help each other. I think it's really important to do that, and I think that stopped some of it. Even if you just, for 1 second, if you just share somebody's book that, you know, somebody could maybe read it that they would not hear about the book, because there's millions of books out there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I hope people will share with each other, because I really think that's what has stopped. And I think that, you know, my problem is if I don't see someone on for a while, like I either call them or email them because I already think something's wrong with them and I want to know, where are you? Because you get to see mm-hmm. the people and then you're uh-huh. wondering, where are they? And sometimes they're not well or something. So, you know, I mean, I do take a personal interest even in, this is before the street team. I mean, this had nothing to do with it. This is just human nature. And I think that people, if they started caring about each other again, I think we'd all feel better. And the writers would be happy that their readers are getting exposure to other people, too, mm-hmm. not just our own. You know, it's
true.
So, to me, it seems like a fun thing. All right. Now, the blog thing, I know I did talk to Amanda. Do you want to talk about what you and CH are doing?
Well, I want to, it kind of segues into what you just said, is helping one another. I think one of the ways what brought this about was the fact that CH writes about small towns and cowboys, and I tend to write about, right now, I like to say I'm going through my contemporary Western period. So it stands to reason kind of that we would pool our resources and our love of small towns and rural romance and cowboys and sort of take it on the internet highway, so to speak, and visit with readers and just have some fun and give away some swag and some prizes and stuff and talk about small towns and rural life aspects that inspire our writing. We just kind of wanted to do something different.
I think it's a terrific idea,
you know,
because I think it's time to make some changes, because I look every day and I see all the blogs on my own blog, and I'm going and I'm scrolling down. I mean, I think the scrolling down is people, you know, I think maybe they should be shorter these days, because I think people just, their attention span is very short and they don't have
uh-huh.
that much time. And, you know, uh-huh. so I think that doing new things is a good thing, because I think we're all ready for some new things,
uh-huh.
you know, that will be fun and enjoyable. And that's the one thing I want to say. The whole thing about this is it should be fun. Everybody knows that. I mean, that is like what I did in high school, what I do now in my life, and it's like having fun. You know, I probably should have learned more, but I tell you, I believe in fun. And I think if you have fun, there's so much stress out there, and this should be fun.
Amen.
Once it stops being fun, this is not good for anybody, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's really hard to remind yourself of that as an author, to remind yourself of why you started writing and telling stories in the first place, and the joy of writing. It's hard. You get caught up on what I like to call the hamster wheel,
yeah.
and of, you know, competition, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be sure to do
yeah.
this and that, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
I think it's very overwhelming to almost everybody if they want to say
yeah.
the truth. If they really
sure.
sit down and say the truth, they know it's overwhelming. And if
right.
they say that they love it and they just keep doing it, they can't, because you can't write then. You can't possibly do everything and try to concentrate on your characters when you're sitting there thinking, well, maybe I should do this now and maybe I should do that. This happens to me. So I go on the computer, I look at the emails, and I go, all right, I'm not going to do anything. And then I go, okay, fine. Then I look at something that goes, oh, here's a newsletter. I go, oh, maybe I should look at this. And then I do that, and then it takes me somewhere else. And then I click something else, and then I link on to something else. And by the time I'm done, it's like 2 hours later.
You've forgotten
exactly
why you went there in the first
yeah.
place. Yeah.
I think we all do this because it's constant email. You know,
right.
and but I do think the new thing, I think that would be a good thing, because you'll be having fun doing it. And
well,
they'll
I hope
be
so. What do you think, CH? Just type in here anytime.
Can I answer you after I finish my copy edits tomorrow?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
No, you have to answer now.
No.
Okay. I loved Amanda's idea. I think it's a great idea.
I do.
I think it's going to be fun. I just wish that I had more of a brain at the moment because, you know, after babysitting and copy edits, it's kind of like Swiss cheese right now.
Yeah, well, copy editing, but that's the thing. We all think, oh, we'll be able to do this the next day, but then we wake up and we go, okay, here we go. You start again,
yeah.
You know. I mean, this
yeah.
is the end of the day, so you're tired already. You know, normal people, not me, because this is when I start to begin my day, and then I'm still up early in the morning, and it's like sometimes I think to myself, I don't think this is good. This is not good. Somewhere I'm doing something wrong here, and I have to change.
I'm not a late night person, so I'm an early person.
I remember
those days.
Oh, yeah. See, I am sometimes, and not sometimes, all the time, and like sometimes my husband will say, like, it would be 12 o'clock, and it's like, were you on the phone at 12 at night? I go, yes, I was. And it reminds me when I was like in high school because my dad used to come in and he goes, are you on the phone? I used to go, no. And I used to hide it, you know. But it's just how it is. You know, I do that. And it's not really, I don't think it's in my best interest, actually. And I say that to myself every morning. And then every evening I say, tomorrow will be different. I will learn from what I wanted, but I don't. You know, I keep doing it, and I see all the people out there. They're all doing it, and I can see lately people are very frustrated, and it is
mm-hmm.
frustrating, but you got to go past that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
like, what
I just,
you, like what you said about having fun. You know, so when you're going to go touring around the country, how are you starting that? You're starting it?
We haven't really got the details down.
Okay.
Because, like CH has said, she just got her edits, and we just got back from the RTE Book Lovers Convention, and you know, it takes my brain a while to get back into gel form after the convention. So, yeah, we're right now in the throes of pounding out kind of the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been all of the blue moons we had at RTE.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. Like, I wake up every day with a new idea, and this is a bad thing because every day, it's like every day. It's always, I have something new to do, and sometimes, you know, you can't do all the things that you want to do, but I seem to make an idea of time. But when you come back probably from the convention, I have not been to the convention. Kim, do you want to talk about it too? I mean, what happens there?
Oh.
I mean, I'm probably going to have
well,
to. I want to go, actually.
This is my
first
year, so I have to say that it was insane. I've never seen something this size ever before, and I've been to small ones like Raw and Laura Lee's Raw and Lloyd Foster's Reader's Weekend. They're small. They're 200, 300 people. This was thousands of women, thousands, and like 20 good-looking cover models, which did really keep my attention, but that's something else. But it's insanity. You can't do everything. You can't plan anything. You have to basically do everything on the fly. But it's very informative, and there's people you want to meet that you get all giddy about when you do finally meet them.
Yeah.
I mean, there were this year they celebrated the Grand Dames of romance, and there were people there that like started it all, and they were honored, and you got to meet them, and they were very nice, and then there's people that you know for a long time that were there, and you got to hang out or just, you know, say hi. But it's insane.
Nice to do that, though, because you don't know, you're putting, you know, a face with words together, you know, about the people that you're talking to all the time online, you know, and you never get to meet them a lot of times, and that's, you know.
That's really fun.
Yeah, I
to
think
meet
it
them.
Is a good thing. So, you know, so I think that I'm missing it by not going to conventions. You know, I've heard a lot of
definitely.
People. Yeah. So I probably will start to go because I think it's a good thing. You know, you meet a lot of people and you can talk over things. You know, because I do different genres, you know, children's and I do screenplays. It's, you know, this is the first really romance series that I did and I love it and I'll probably stick to this, you know. And so I think it's fun. And I think, you know, the romance writer feel, I've always done romance shows, all different kinds of romance shows. For the last, like, almost 3 years, I've done romance shows and not really done the true romance type myself. And I really did enjoy it. And I've met such great people because the advice that people give and the help is really good. However, now I'm thinking that people might need to pay for some things because I think that people need to have different kind of exposure, like, you know, a street team, like, you know, be on someone's blog, something like that, and they have to, you know, maybe they don't have time to tweet. I mean, we offer that, too. I mean, Marnie does it for me and then Kim, and then I've had other people on that do it because I think there's never enough. I mean, like, if you put your book, let's say, on somebody's site and you pay them $25 or $30, I think it's worth it because it's going to be seen by people that would not normally see it. So it can't hurt. You know, and I think one of the problems is people might not want to pay for a few things, but I do think it's necessary now because people like Kim, I mean, you're not an author, Kim, and you can't do this for free the rest of your life because it's not, it takes so much time. I mean, when you go into Twitter, I think people, you know, that are just tweeting, okay, and but for me, I like to look and see what I'm tweeting because I might not want to tweet something that might be something I don't even believe in if I'm just, you know, tweeting.
And you can't do too much either with that because that if you tweet too much, it becomes spam and people turn you off.
Yeah.
So you have to be very selective now because there's so much flooding the internet. You have to be careful what you're going to say and who you're saying it to because if you're constantly retweeting or posting somebody else's information, it gets to be crazy. So I've seen people do 30, 40 tweets in a few hours' time, and I've had to turn them off.
Yeah, 30, 40, oh, my God.
No, I'm totally serious about that, totally.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you can thank TV for that because on TV, this is how they live their life on TV. I watch a lot of the shows, American Idol, all these shows, and that's – people really think they have to do it all day long. It's like they have to tweet everything. And I think, you know, it gets crazy after a while. You can't tweet everything, but I think that this is what's become. Because when you're watching TV, they go, oh, they're having this greatest conversation. What conversation? They're having a wonderful conversation on, you know, American Idol or any of these shows now, and that's what everybody thinks happens. But I think most people, they're just tweeting. They don't even know what they're tweeting. They're just going, I'll go along with the crowd.
I think they tweet, but they don't read the tweets.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing. That's what we talked about that before.
Yeah.
And if they're not reading them, then we're doing them. And see, but all of this takes time. So if you have somebody that's helping you, an assistant that is helping you, it takes them time.
Right.
And there are only so many hours in the day. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I do really think now people need to pay for things because I think they need more help than they can do on their own. But it doesn't have to be real expensive. That's why I monitor the people that I do, and I don't, you know, I don't tell people to use people that are that expensive because it can become very expensive, and that's really not the object of this. You know, the object is we want to sell books and get out there, but we also have a lot of people can't afford to do things. But I think they can afford a few things that it's really necessary. I believe it's necessary now, you know.
Well, for the reader, I mean, your books are basically the bottom line. And if we can't find out about them, then what's the point? Because there are so many authors out there. I mean, if you look at the list for RT,
there were
over 400 authors' names there. I had to sit down and make a list of who I really wanted to meet because there's no way you could go and see everybody.
You can't. I know. See, that's the whole thing. I mean, and that's a huge community. I mean, the romance community is good. It's huge. I mean, it's an awesome
community. It really is, though.
Yeah, I think it is because I really do think that they are absolutely helping each other, which I can tell you that the children's market, everybody wants to help each other, but there's nothing we can do. You can't really get fans unless, you know, you have a book that just went crazy for the kids. But otherwise, the kids are little. They're not your fans, you know.
Right.
And that's why people with children's books, they're trying to figure out things to do. I have shows on that with A Good Story is a Good Story, and we're trying to figure out what works for people because they're really not getting sales like the romance people are. And, you know, as we know, the paranormal, they write everything, and everybody just says, oh, fine, I'll read that. You know, and that's one of the top markets, the paranormal, but not everybody writes that way.
Huh.
Yeah, paranormal is insane, but I think that... I don't know. After a while, it all starts running into each other. You have the originals, who started writing these books, you know, almost 10 years ago, and people now who are starting to write similar things to that.
Yeah.
And they're also getting a lot of exposure, and I don't know how. I mean, I know that there are girls out there that work from their homes, and to me, it's more like being a glorified secretary, some of them, how they, with the blog tours and
We need to talk about that, because I watched people the other night on a blog tour, and I saw them, and they did, and, you know, it's not even like the hop. They're, you know, actually they're having an event. Okay, it was like a blog event, okay? And honestly, I really think a lot of people signed up, and then nobody did anything. I'm thinking, like, what kind of party is this? Nobody's doing anything, you know? And they didn't even know what to do, you know? And I think everybody just does it because they'll say, oh, have a blog tour, have a blog hop, and they go, yes, this sounds wonderful. But nobody really does anything. it's like nothing. It's like you're waiting for something exciting to happen, and nothing does, you know?
Yeah,
and I think
that's
are getting
basically the Facebook ones.
Yeah,
I think it's the ones that the tours that they have, the events on Facebook where you show up the day of, and they just basically chat on the page, and during the day you win, you know, prizes from the author. But I kind of shy away from those because it's like every day I get invites to those, and I don't, I can't do them all. I can't, not even a portion. And the blog tours they do on the blogs themselves, it's hard to find a blog that really backs anybody completely anyway. I mean, I have certain genres that I love that I would immediately say yes to, but I don't want to go to a blog that just does, you know, BDSM or erotica, because I know that that's what they're big into. You have to find people that like the same things you like, and it's hard. Especially when you want their followers to comment, that's the big deal. Commenting now is down.
Yeah. Oh, commenting,
on blog tours
themselves.
Nobody comments anymore. It's ridiculous.
I know why. I think I know why. Is because they don't want to be. If they comment, then that means they've made more of a connection than they want to, and then maybe somebody else is going to say something, then they'll have to respond, and they don't really want to do that now. They just want to go in and look at it, you know, and. There used to be, but it does help the author if you comment, you know, it really does. But I think a lot of people have stopped that, like you're saying, and it pretty much doesn't really, for people that are doing the blog tours, they don't really understand, you know, and people when they're charging for a blog tour, they can't be mad at the person doing the blog tour because they're trying to get them out there. There's nothing anybody can do to make somebody comment, you know, but that doesn't mean people aren't looking at it, you know.
I
think that's what people don't understand is when they're on a blog tour or something like that, there are people looking, but you don't know like you did before you would be able to see interaction. There isn't.
There is a really big difference between the blog tour and the going and doing the author signing, and that's nobody asks you where the bathroom is in a blog tour. When you're sitting there at that table in that bookstore,
nobody's coming by.
I
know exactly, and I know what you're saying because we've talked about that they put the authors now, this is how they love the authors now, they put them in by the bathroom. I think we're supposed to be telling people where to go.
Bathroom's down the hall. But they don't do that in a blog tour.
Yeah, I think I was telling Amanda this when I was talking to her. I did, anything bad to say, but I did a signing at Barnes & Noble because somebody asked me to help them. So I did. I went there myself. And what was interesting is that it was on my children's book, okay? And there are no children's book at that Barnes & Noble. So I was there for no reason, okay?
So I
stayed there and whatever. And I left, and then it was the end of that. But that's ridiculous. I mean, they posted it. They gave PR for me, and I'm thinking, like, what would you do this for? You don't have anybody in here. This is, you know, it's for college. There's no kids here. You know,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and they don't care like they did. You know, I remember when I went to Walden Books, one of my signings, they were so nice to me because they're out of business now. And they were so wonderful. I was thinking I should put the table there. They go, no, just sit. You're the author. I'm going like, oh, my God. And they're doing everything for me. And they said, look, don't worry if you don't have that many people because the more you do, the better it is. You'll get people. But that was then. Now
that was
Walden Books.
Walden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all at a, you know, we're all kind of at a standstill. So I think, you know, the bottom line is, because I've talked to all three of you, we talk about this. Just have a good time and kind of enjoy this. And, you know, Kim, you're the one that's reading books and enjoying all of these books. And, I mean, this is really good. You're putting the word out, and that's such a good thing. I mean, you know, that really is kind of, that is what a street team is. I mean, now that I'm trying to get this together, and I'm doing it as Madison, so I will talk about what happened. What happened is I did tell Kim the other day, I said, open it up. Now, when you say open it up, can you explain to people what that means when I said just open it?
Yeah, well, what happens is there you can have your street team or your any page, or actually group of yours, be private, secret, or open.
Right.
Now, if you want everybody to join, you're obviously going to put it open,
right,
or public. And some you really, you can't, because there's too many people that would join. And I think if you're dealing with over, like, 20 people, it's kind of insane. I mean, I've heard of people having hundreds of people on their street team. What, do everybody on there, do they really do what you're asking them to do? Do they really go and talk about your book? I don't know about that. It's hard to manage, especially when the author I know tries to send everybody in the group, because it's, you know, it's a special thing. They try to send them, you know, books or swag that they had made up specially for them.
And that could be expensive.
It can be very expensive, and we don't want you to spend all that money. We honestly, I would rather, you know, just get a hello instead of getting something in the mail half the time,
right,
unless it's for us to distribute to other people. And that is a thing that is very helpful, because I do take bookmarks to my local Barnes & Noble, and I do put them on bookshelves, and I do put them,
on
the tables.
They let you do that at Barnes & Noble?
You know, they don't want you to, but I go right up to the author's books and put them right in there. I am, like, the most obnoxious, to gag laugh, I'm the most obnoxious person in my Barnes & Noble. If I don't see, on release Tuesday, if I don't see the books that are supposed to be released, I go up to the counter and give them a list of why is this and this not out? Today's release day. Where are they? I want them.
See, that's
and
the problem.
Some people,
I don't think people realize that. It's just, it's not, it's on best-selling authors as well as self-published authors. It's not, there are really, they don't put a lot of books out that they, you know.
No, they don't. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I have a reason why. I know one in particular didn't get put out. There's one person at the Barnes & Noble where my daughter used to work that was responsible for putting the new titles out, and that person was out sick for a week, and every book that was new that was out that particular week didn't get shelved till the week after when the person came back, because they only had one person in that store who was responsible for new titles.
Yeah, I know. They
that's
insanity.
Yeah,
that's what they said at that Barnes & Noble.
Well, and all, in addition to that, they not only that, but they have, in mind anyway, they took away most of the romance section and put in four rows of children's toys.
Yep.
When we have a Toys R Us across the street, we were up in arms about this, because now we only have basically two rows of books, short, you know, little bookshelves, and if you want anything, you really have to go ask for it.
Wow.
Yeah. See, this is so
it's
sad.
Still not
I mean, it really
fair.
Is. Very sad. And you know, and the libraries, they're not doing anybody a favor, because they're not even having people come to, I mean, authors want to go free and they go to talk to people, and they're not even having events like that, because I think one of the reasons is they don't have the help. They're all on the verge of closing. This is what's happening. And I think that there, you know, it would be really nice if there was something we could all do to save everything, because it's not only about, you know, if they go to the, like Barnes & Noble, they can download it, so they'll make some money. I mean, but they have to be more author-friendly. This is getting so bad, because regular people, readers, like to talk to authors. They like to hear them. They like to talk to them, and they like to ask questions. And this is such a shame, because this really is a lot that we're missing now.
Yeah. Traditionally, it's been the publishers and the booksellers, though, that where the money is exchanged a lot, you know. buying the shelf space for certain books and that kind of thing, making sure that their books are displayed prominently in certain areas of the store. So it's always been kind of a love thing between publishers and the brick and mortars.
Yeah.
And they do have to pay extra for those end caps.
Right, they do.
Yes, they do.
And so the authors have really, they're kind of incidental in the whole big picture of things.
Isn't that sad, though? I mean, I think it's so sad. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. All right, you know, we're not going to like have a cry day for them, but what we're going to see is really sad. But you know, I'm thinking what, you know, like I was thinking, like if you people are going to have chats and things. I mean, I'm thinking like even like a show like mine. I mean, I think it would be nice to be able to have, we have call-in, and we've asked readers to call in. I mean, I would like to arrange something that like people could have their fans call in and talk to them. I think that would be such a fun show. But, you know, it's really hard to arrange those because, you know, when the show is on, a lot of people are busy, but this is a live show. And I think it would be so nice for people if they could talk to authors that they want to. You know, it would be so much fun. You know, I'm always thinking of new ideas, and I think that might be something that would be interesting to do. I just don't know how to do it. We can handle, you know, 20 or 30. You can do that online, you know, on the shows, but it's just that it hasn't been done. But I'm thinking maybe sometimes some of these things would be fun to do, you know. And, you know, I mean, you can't be upset if nobody comes, so then you just chit-chat and talk to each other. You know, we talk among ourselves. But I do think that it would be nice if we could have more, like activity, you know, where authors could be talking to. Years ago, when I even first did the shows, there were more people in chat rooms and you could talk. You know, anybody that's in the chat room right now, if you have a question, just ask. It's fine. You know, what I do a lot of times is I don't think people realize that if you can dial this number when it's a live show and you can listen to it on your phone. You don't have to be on the computer. So I do that a lot. And they don't have to. And if you don't go to, like, if you don't press 1, nobody will come on and ask you, you know, what you want. So I think that that's a good thing because this way people, you know, can listen to, like, I listen to them sometimes when I'm not sitting at a desk so I can hear other shows, you know. And I think, you know, and like this show will be on demand for a long time. I mean, I have my old shows, they're on demand, you know. So that's the good thing that you can keep putting this link out and put it on your site and people can listen to it whenever they want for months to come, you know. And I think it's really good for authors to have their voice out there. And I think that it makes you real. Like, you know, you know, they don't know you as much. They know you from your writing. But when they actually hear you and what you're thinking, I think that really helps the writer feel.
Oh, my God, they'll never talk to me again.
Oh, stop. Colleen, we love talking to you.
Marcia, do you remember what we were talking about earlier when you said something about having a show where authors read their work?
Okay, right,
like I mentioned Lady Jane Salon.
Yes.
We were talking about that.
We're going to have
that. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. J.D. Holliday asked me if I wanted to do that. That is the first thing I did on it. We're going to do that. We're going to have once a month a show like that. And you're more than welcome to come on. We're going to do shows like this. And I actually am probably going to do, I might do more shows even on my other show like this, because I think if people heard the writing, that how wonderful that a lot of the writing is, that they would buy the books. See, because when you go on a lot of shows sometimes, like that's why we don't talk, I don't do shows too much to talk about the people's books, only because you start giving things away, and I hear on a lot of shows they go, I don't want to talk about that, I don't want to talk about this. So it's like, you know, this way they could read, they could pick out what they want to read. Just, you know, and at least people, I think if you hear a style of someone's writing, I think you're bound to buy the book then.
I think that sounds fun.
Yeah, I think
we're going to try to start with, like, you do the back cover, you read the back cover, then you go to the first page, you know, and then I think it could be fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun when they do it. Lady Jane Salons, apparently, there's one, it started in New York City, and I'm pretty sure there's one in Kansas, somewhere in the Midwest, because Tracy Devlin and I can't remember the other author's name have a satellite one there, but I think there's one in Houston as well. I think there's 3 locations where they're doing
this.
There's
a lot of them. I think the Carolinas have one. I'm not sure, but
just read the things. Let's see. Oh, here we go.
Lady Jane's is basically.
there's a question, I think, here. Ladies, do you think that it is a risk that you might actually lose readers if you become too real to them? Ooh, well, I hope not.
I hope not. That's a good question, but
Yeah, it is a good question. You know, it's a really good question. I know what, because it's the illusion. I know. It's the illusion. It might be that, like, you know, if you're writing romance, that we don't do laundry and grocery shopping and things like that.
Oh, my Lord, that would be.
Yeah, there is that perception.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing
what's in my sink right now.
That we do all
the glamorous life, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know. Wouldn't it be nice? I know. You know, sometimes when I'm doing something, I go, like, you know, I have a radio show. Am I like a princess? No, I'm sitting here doing the laundry, and I'm up and doing, you know, I'm dusting. We do what everybody else does. I think I know what she's saying. And,
Okay.
They would like us to be more glamorous. And I think we'd like to probably be that way, too. But it's...
I don't agree with that. I think that when we find out that you're just like us, it's more attractive.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. All right, good.
Being that you can do something that we can't do or that we aspire to do, like, I wish I could write like these ladies do. You know, I'm not going to attempt to. I mean, I have written stuff that I will never let anybody read. But you guys have the guts to put things on paper and let people read them that we would never be able to let people see. And you have an attitude when, you know, this awesome air about you went, knowing that we're reading these things that we could never let anybody else read. It's like I just go, wow.
Why it's nice to hear from readers. I really so want to have a show with a lot of readers. We've tried. I mean, I'm like begging people to come on that are readers because I really want to know what they think. I mean, not about my thing, just in general, because I really believe without readers, we might as well just chalk it up. We need readers.
We'll all be in the padded room together.
Yeah.
That's so funny. You know, I think authors are my rock stars. They're my celebrities. And this is why I haven't put the TV on in almost 5 years.
That's unbelievable.
Because
I prefer
books to, you know, the minutiae that's on TV now, the reality, these quote reality TV shows that are taking over, you know, the...
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a good comment here.
Yeah, we do.
Laurie, she says she agrees with Kim. I buy books from authors that I have contact with before someone else. That's really that's nice to hear. You know, I mean, because I kind of like, you know, for me, you know, when I mean, I am like everybody else. You know, I think sometimes that when like all of us, like Virginia Grenier and you know, Fran Lewis and R. Jeffries, all of us, we have actually a site now for host of World of Ink Network because we're all authors, but we don't talk that much about our books. But the thing is that we are just like everybody else. And when you go on, like people go on a show or on TV or whatever, when someone's interviewing them, when they don't understand like an author would. I understand what you're going through because I'm going through it. And I understand about rejection because I have hundreds of rejections. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I understand about self-publishing. I do that, and I understand about traditional publishing, and I understand about screenplays because I've been there. I've done this for, like, a long time, like over 15 years, and I've been an agent and because I couldn't find an agent, and now sometimes you don't need an agent, and they don't even pay attention to the agents. So it's like, I mean, I've done all this, and that's one of the things that I am like everybody else because I know what they're going through, and that's why sometimes when someone comes on and they go like, oh, just do this. Well, you can't just do this because you don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have learned so many things myself that I never thought I could do, you know, and I just do it.
And that might work for that particular book at that particular time for that particular event. You know, whatever. I don't think there's any pat formula for making any book a bestseller.
Yeah.
You know, other than
I agree with you.
Backing.
I don't think so. There isn't. Yeah. It's just it happens. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it really does. And when people are bestsellers, you know, like, but Fran Lewis has had quite a few, and I've had a lot, you know, like I have all of you, you're very talented women, you know, and it's you know, it's so interesting to me to see how everybody else does things and how they
mm-hmm.
are. This is, to me, the best thing for me because I've met so many people that I never would have met before. Where am I going to meet
mm-hmm.
them? I mean, I'm in Chicago. I wouldn't, you know. And Virginia and I are doing the radio world meeting together. She's in Utah. You know, I mean, where would we ever have met? We wouldn't have.
RT.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly.
Right. Need to bring the radio show to RT.
That would be a good idea. I think that's a good idea. I will do that. I would like to start doing this because I really do. You know, with my children's books, I really love going to the schools, and because the kids,
mm-hmm.
they love it, and it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is Scholastic has taken over that market, and what they do is Scholastic packs the books up in a box. They send it to the school. The kids
mm-hmm.
have no contact with the author. Kids
mm-hmm.
love to meet authors. And the schools,
mm-hmm.
we fight like this. We're always talking about this. And it will be because all they do is pack up the books. They pack the books,
mm-hmm.
send it to the school, but they don't get to meet
mm-hmm.
the authors. And they love this.
I was on the PTA for our kids' elementary school, It took us a couple of years, but we were able to have enough fundraisers that we had the author Stephen Kellogg come to the school for the kids, and he was up on stage, and he had enough books for every child in first to sixth grade.
That was really good.
And he was up there on the stage with his big drawing pad,
yep.
and while he was talking to the kids, he was making illustrations. It was amazing.
I think it's so much fun.
You know, it takes a lot of money to get an author like that to go there.
I didn't charge anybody. I donated a lot of books to the schools,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't charge, and I don't charge to go to the schools. And
mm-hmm.
it's still, they don't care because Scholastic has worked the deals with them, and it's really sad for the kids, you know, and the kids were great. And, you know, for me, like, it was so much fun because what the kids, you know, after you read the book, if they still want to buy it, you're so
mm-hmm.
lucky. I mean, you feel like, oh, my God, they heard it and they want to buy it. You feel
mm-hmm.
great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that I think authors really care about, you know. And I think
mm-hmm.
that people think that, yeah, I mean, we love to do these things. And we're doing
mm-hmm.
it, a lot of times if you're doing it free, I mean, I don't know why they say no. How do they let everybody, they don't really want, you know, I don't know what they're thinking of now. But if they want books to stay alive and, you know, all this reading, because I think with the mm-hmm. iPad, more people read than they ever read before. I really believe that. I think so many people
mm-hmm.
are reading now, you know, certainly romances that they never would read, because even the erotic ones and all of the, you know, books that sometimes they didn't want to buy in a store, they're reading it on their iPad. So look at, I mean, it's so great
mm-hmm.
for everybody now. I think this is the best
mm-hmm.
time ever. You know, and for authors that are listening out there, you just got to start and do it. That's it. You do it, and, you know, your first one may not be great and your second one, but then after a while, then you'll look at it, and then you'll just keep writing, and you'll get better.
Yep.
You know,
that's
true. So, I mean, does anybody have any last words that they'd like to say about, you know, for people, what they would, you know, like to do or what they think should be done? Kim, do you have anything to, you know, add to this that you think that maybe would help authors? The reader is really number one.
Well, the reader definitely is number one. And if you can just, you know, let yourself be accessible to everybody, it really does help. I think your idea of the readings online would be a really awesome one. I think that would work really well. Not only that, I've had a few friends of mine who are authors who have had rejection after rejection, and they don't know why. And I think, yes, the publicity part of it is a big deal.
Yeah.
And if they just, you know, it's tough for everybody. They should just, you know, let an excerpt get out there of what they're doing. Have a little chat, you know, one evening in a group to get yourselves out there. It's, as long as you are accessible, then people are more interested.
Well, you know,
being
I made
behind
this before. Anybody that wants to come out, just let us know, Virginia. Well, let me know for sure. The romance writers, for sure, just let me know. You know, and I'm happy to have them on because I do a lot of romance shows. You know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and I'm happy to have them on, and they can chat and with each other or whatever. I think this is, to me, really, because, you know, before I met you, Kim, then I wouldn't have met Amanda, and I wouldn't have met CH. I mean, this is so, writers are more alike than they think.
Yeah.
No matter where you live. No matter where you, it doesn't matter where you live.
We all wash dishes.
That's true.
Most of them are really shy, which kind of scares me.
I don't know.
Most authors are very introverted.
It's hard. Yeah. It's very hard to go to those conventions because that's not my thing. I'd rather talk with just a couple people at a time, but when you have 1,700 of your new best friends, it's like, wow, where do you start? So.
Well, you know what? Because you're writing it, they're reading you, so they do know you, you know, by your work.
Right.
That's what they know, and that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they know you. They know you better than you think.
That's the thing is they know us, but we don't really know them yet.
We're in trouble now.
Well, we have, you know, we have issues. All everybody has issues, right? I mean,
I think
you just try new things, and you know, actually, like on my blog with Bethany, we're doing, you know, an Ask Bethany and Madison just for fun, you know, just questions, you know. Anything you want to ask about relationships, whatever, and we're not therapists, but we like to have fun. So I think that should be something different. You know, I just think it's so much fun to do new things, you know.
Change it up.
I make it up as I go, and if it doesn't go right, I'll try something else. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's
we don't
want
to hear from the therapist, Marcia. We want to hear from the author.
If
those scenes that they really write, if they've done the proper research on them.
Yeah.
That's what we want to know. We don't need to hear a therapist.
Yeah, right. You know what?
Okay.
Actually, reading is a really good form of therapy for people. It really is. It takes them out of the world that they're in. You know, and it does. It's great. It's like, you know, just like shopping does for some people, reading does. You know, like Tracy said out here, she reads most day and nights. This is very interesting to me to see the people that have been in the chat room talking about that they read, which is really great. That's what this is all about.
That's how I end my day.
Yes.
Every night.
You do?
Every night, yeah. I used to be able to read more, but when I'm on deadline, I can't. So I just read like a chapter or so. But right now I'm reading Carrie Ann Ryan, who I love very much. I think it's her third Holiday Montana book. I actually read the third one first, so now I'm reading the second one, which is Santa's Executive. But it's cool. On an e-reader, which I just got, and I'm very proud of myself.
There we go.
That has no bookmarks. But
oh, my gosh, that was driving me crazy. Where do I put my bookmark?
Story.
It's an e-reader. Another story.
I'm actually reading one of my Keeper Shelf, Stephanie Holmes' Pink Moon, which is, I think I'm reading it for about the zillionth time, simply because I just love that book.
It's so nice to hear, you know, that you appreciate other people's work. So, I mean, and I think that's
a good thing.
You know, I think it's a great thing. You know, I should add that I did see The Great Gatsby. We'll add that. And, you know,
was it good?
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was done beautiful. I thought the acting was good. I thought it was just glamorous. It was beautiful. It was old Hollywood-like. It was so nice. It was really nicely done. And the music was beautiful. It wasn't like that people thought the music would be too intense. It was really beautiful. You know, my husband liked it, too, and it was really good. And I think that somebody behind me, we're walking out. I always listen to everybody because I write screenplays, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking. And somebody said, well, it wasn't as good as I thought. I felt like, oh, do you know how much money and how much care they went into making this movie. They go, oh, it's not that good. It really was beautiful. And I do think they did a great job of it. So, I mean, so a lot of the people that are writing, someday you never know if your book is going to be a movie because I don't think that when he wrote
that
thought it was going to be one. You know,
no.
And so there's hope out there for everybody because you don't ever know. And all someone has to do is look in a library or find a book and go, I really like this book. I'll make it into a movie. And that really is how it is with screenplays. They get a screenplay made from the book. So I think there's hope that all of this, for everybody. So this has been such a very entertaining. I really had a good time with all of you meeting you, and I hope we stay in touch because I definitely want to have you authors, both of you, to do readings on that. You know,
it was nice to meet you, too.
It was just fun.
It was very nice to meet you.
Great.
That would be a lot of fun.
And Kim is still stuck with me. What can I tell you? But I'm learning all these things just like everybody else. So, you know, that's what I do. So does everybody want to say their website before we leave? And then, okay, Kim, where can they find you and your blogs and whatever so they know where you are?
Well, my blog is bookobsessedchicks at blogspot.com. And I'm not there all the time, but you can find me on Facebook. My name is Kimberly Radice Rocha. And you have the link, I believe, on this page
that you posted about with Sizzling Hot Romance.
Yep.
But I'm pretty easy. I'll friend pretty much anybody.
Okay. All right, this is good. I mean, because I think that there's help out there for everybody. So here we go. Amanda?
Okay. Mine is www.amandamcintyresbooks.com, and I have information about Facebook, Twitter, my street team, which Kim also helped me to get started, and all of the information about my newsletter and everything is right there on my website.
That's good. Okay. CH?
Mine is just chadmorand.com, and I have a street team that Kim helped me start on Facebook, and I am a street team dropout because I don't do it right. So,
that's what we're learning to do. We're going to learn how to do this right because I don't want to drop out either. We're doing this.
Well,
you know?
I feel like
we're going to graffiti your wall, CH.
I'm very persistent.
Okay.
So that's, you know, I mean, this is the thing. You know, you got to just be persistent with these things. All right, so all three of us, Kim, how about right? All three of us.
It doesn't have to be completely active. It's the only, I mean, when you're releasing something, I understand that you want the most help.
Yeah.
But once in a while to say hi is not a bad thing. It doesn't have to be every day.
I like to torture mine.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm on everything every day. That's why I have to cut my. I know I have to do some thinking here. I always do. You can find all of us on World of Ink, you know, and World of Ink Network, and you could find me at booksbymadisonmontgomery.com or marciacaspercook.com, and I'm always have my shows on, you know, usually on Tuesday night, and we will have some of the readers. You know, we will have people reading their things because I do think it's a good idea. And naturally, I want to have both of you on. So you can come on together. You can do this together.
That sounds like fun.
Okay. And let's see. My show next week is Mystery. And let's see, Pauline Holyoke will be on, and Karen Vaughn will be on, and a few more others will be on. I haven't done a mystery show in a while, and it's very interesting. You know, I love all these things. I never know what I'm going to do, so just stay tuned, and I'll be out there telling you what I will do. And anybody that wants to come on the show, please let us know, you know, and we're happy to have you. So a good night to everybody, and thank you so much for being on, and it's been great. And, Kim, I'll do my thing tonight. I'll go on and invite people to do.
Thanks, Marcia. You take
care.
Take care.
Everybody take care. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.